And we're talking about being dependent on the Holy Spirit in prayer. That when I think about dependence, many of you know that my mind travels back for examples to songs of the 70s. And one of the songs of the 70s was a song by the name of Patches. And that song Patches talks about a man who was raising a family and he was about to die. And he had a son whose name was Patches. And he was putting things on Patches to keep the family going, to keep the family provided for. And the father called the son to his dying bed. And as he cried, he told his son, Patches, I'm dependent on you to pull this family through. My son is all left up.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Anya Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of Dependence in Prayer. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Dependence.
Today, as we journey through our Lenten series, continuing on the road to the resurrection, because truly that's where this culminates, and we are traveling this road to the resurrection by the way of prayer, and we have been looking at the life and teachings of Jesus. We started out by talking about having a commitment to prayer. You know, if you follow us throughout this series, we are leading you into having a deeper prayer life with the Lord. And on Wednesdays, we have Zoom Bible study, and we also have in-person Bible study. And we've been looking at the hour that changes the world. And we are showing how that you could pray for an hour without really, a lot of people say, well, you know, pray for an hour. I have a hard time praying for 3 minutes. And, you know, we're talking about the hour that changes the world and breaking the hour up into 5-minute segments where we look at different aspects of prayer. And so we are trying to saturate the members. We are trying to saturate the church with prayer. So I'm preaching sermons on prayer, and the Bible study is focused around prayer. And we looked at a commitment to pray, and we saw that in the life of Christ, that he got up early in the morning, the Bible says, and went up into a mountain to pray. He was committed to prayer. Then we looked at the model prayer, that when God was asked, how should I pray? That God gave us a model to follow. And that model is what we call the disciples' prayer. Some people call it the Lord's Prayer. I call it the disciples' prayer. And then we looked at, once you're committed to pray, once you have a model to pray, you know how to pray, then we moved into how can you be persistent in prayer? How can you keep coming day after day after day in prayer? And this morning, we're going to look at dependence in prayer. How can you have a powerful prayer life? That there is a dependence that you must exemplify. And it was read for us in the scripture this morning, and that person that helps us to pray is the Holy Spirit. And so we're talking about dependence in prayer. And the title of my message today, and I've heard this said, throughout my time as a believer, people have said this, help me, Holy Ghost. Help me, Holy Ghost. That's the title of the sermon today. Help me, Holy Ghost. And we're talking about being dependent on the Holy Spirit in prayer. That when I think about dependence, Many of you know that my mind travels back for examples to songs of the 70s. And one of the songs of the 70s was a song by the name of Patches. And that song Patches talks about a man who was raising a family and he was about to die. And he had a son whose name was Patches. And he was putting things on Patches to keep the family going, to keep the family provided for. And the father called the son to his dying bed. And as he cried, he told his son, Patches, I'm depending on you to pull this family through. My son is all left up to you. And when we think about prayer, help me, Holy Ghost. When we think about prayer, that we have to be dependent on the Holy Spirit. That man, as he laid on his dying bed, knew that he could do nothing else. And everything that would be done from that point on would be put upon the shoulders of his son. And sometimes we have to be like that father. That we have to come to the end of ourselves. That we have to come to that place where we can't do anything else. And we put it in the hands of the Holy Spirit. In John 14, verse 16 and verse 26, Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter or counselor, that he may abide with you forever. And then in verse 26, he says, but the Comforter, who is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have said unto you. Jesus announces the coming of the Holy Spirit. He tells his disciples in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, that he's leaving. Now, he'd been with these guys for 3 years. He's fed them, he's protected them, he's taught them, he's guided them, and now he tells them that he's getting ready to leave. Verse 1 of chapter 14 says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He's telling them he's getting ready to get up and get out. He's getting ready to leave. Now, if you walk with God for 3 years, and you've seen God take care of you for 3 years, and now he tells you that he's getting ready to go, just think of what might happen in your heart. Just think about how you might feel if God is telling you he's getting ready to leave. But praise God, he said that even though I'm going, he says that I will pray in verse 16. he says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. In verse 18, he says, I will not leave you comfortless. And then in verse 26, he says, but the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. Jesus said, I'm going to send you another comforter, or some translations say counselor. The word comforter or counselor comes from the Greek word parakletos or paraclete. Some of you may have heard that term used before. The word paraclete, no, I didn't say parakeet, I said paraclete, comes from two Greek words. Para, which means alongside of, and kaleo, which means to call. So the Holy Spirit is the one that's called alongside of us. But the beautiful thing is that he's not only called alongside of us, but I'm going to show you in a second that he is also in us. That he walks beside us and that he's in us. God, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, has been called to our side. What does it mean when it says that he's the paraclete, that he's the one who's called beside us? He's been called beside us to dwell in us. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. He's been called alongside of us to fill us. Ephesians 5:18. He's been called alongside to empower us. Acts 1:8. He's been called alongside to guide us. Acts 16:6-9. He's been called alongside to teach us. 1 Corinthians 2:12-13. But what we want to focus on today is that he's been called alongside to help us pray. We've looked at commitment to pray, the model prayer, persistence in prayer, and now we're looking at, if you're going to pray, that you can't pray in the flesh. You can't talk to God in the flesh. Oh, you can throw some words, you can mouth some words, and God will hear you, but is that really prayer? Today, I want to talk about how we can get intimate in our prayer life with God as we depend on the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible says that we need to pray in the Spirit. That we need to pray in the Spirit. Ephesians 6 and verse 18. Listen to this. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Praying in the Spirit. In Jude 20, Jude says, but you dear friends, build yourselves up in the most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Pray in the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to pray in the Holy Spirit? It means that you pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. That you're not praying in your own power. That when you come to God in your own strength, and you know what, this, as I was studying for this message, the Lord really convicted my heart, because I have to ask myself, you know, and one of the things that I'm going to do in this message is get us to really think about, whenever we pray, what it means to pray in the Spirit. Because I think, and I'm not trying to be harsh or critical, but I think a lot of prayers are in the flesh. You know, something bad happens to us. Somebody wounds us. Somebody harms us. And a lot of times people pray, Lord, get back at them. Lord, bring revenge for what was done. And so you have to ask the question, is that really a Spirit-led prayer? Come on now. And I know, man, sometimes when you're hurting and somebody has wounded you and you're thinking that you want something. Now, again, maybe some of y'all might be more spiritual than the rest of us. And so when somebody does you wrong, your first inclination is, oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul. I'm so glad that they wounded me instead of somebody else. Lord, I just pray that you would pour down your richest blessings on their life. And no, come on now. You know, a lot of times we are in the flesh and we are hurting and we cry out to God. And even in those times, I'm going to show you here in a second that the Holy Spirit helps us to be able to pray even during times like that. And so We have been commanded to pray in the Spirit, pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, pray by the leading of the Holy Spirit, pray according to the will of the Holy Spirit. You know, there was a show, I don't know if it still comes on or not. It was called the Million Dollar Pyramid. And in the Million Dollar Pyramid, you know, you answered these questions. And if you got stuck, you had lifelines, right? There was 50-50, where if there was four answers, they would remove two and just leave two up there. That was a lifeline that you could use. There was the ask the audience, you know, that maybe you didn't know the answer, but there was people out in the audience that knew the answer. So you could ask the audience. That was another lifeline. And then there was the phone a friend, that if you had a friend that knew some things in that particular area where they asked a question, you could phone the friend. And these were the lifelines. Well, I'm here to tell you today that the only lifeline to God, the only lifeline to God, it's through the Holy Spirit. And that's where we pray. It says pray in the Spirit. Not pray in the flesh, but pray in the Spirit. That's praying in the power of the Holy Spirit, praying by the leading of the Holy Spirit, and praying according to the will of the Holy Spirit. That's the lifeline right there. As we look at our verse in the book of Romans that I really want to focus on this morning, because it's the Holy Spirit that helps believers pray. In the book of Romans, we see a couple things. Chapter 8 is talking about the Holy Spirit. And in verses 1 through 4, it talks about those who walk after the Spirit are not condemned by the law. In verses 5 through 13, it says the Spirit gives the believer power over sin. In verses 14 through 17, it says the Holy Spirit gives the believer the assurance that he belongs to God. In verses 18 through 25, the Holy Spirit gives the believer hope in the midst of suffering. And in verses 26 and 27 of Romans chapter 8, the Holy Spirit assists the believer in prayer. In Romans 8, 26 and 27, it says this: in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what to pray for, but the Spirit himself, when I'm in the flesh, when I'm angry, when I've been wounded, when I've been hurt, the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. The Holy Spirit assists us in prayer. The first point that I want to make is this: the Holy Spirit helps us pray in the midst of our weakness. Notice what it says. It's the Spirit that helps us. It's the Spirit that helps us to pray. That even, and notice what he says. Let me turn to Romans chapter 8. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. That when we are hurting, when we are wounded, when we are struggling, when life has dealt us a blow, and we go through infirmities, it's the Spirit that helps us. This word help, oh man, I wish I could teach a Greek class on this word help right here. This is a powerful word, but I don't want to put this word up there because it blew me away. And I know that it will blow us away. But this word, the Holy Spirit helps us. It means that the Holy Spirit comes with us. The Holy Spirit stands face to face with us. And the Holy Spirit empowers us. I was trying to think of a way to illustrate it. And I thought of this to illustrate this word when it says the Holy Spirit helps us. Just imagine that you're carrying a couch with somebody. You're on one end carrying the couch and somebody else is on the other end. Now, I'm going to say the Holy Spirit is on the other end. All right. And so you and the Holy Spirit are carrying this couch, right? Face to face. The Holy Spirit is looking at you and you looking at the Holy Spirit. And here you are carrying this couch. And you carry the couch, and all of a sudden, something happens. You get a cramp in your leg. You pull a muscle, and whoa! All of a sudden, on your end, the couch drops, and the Holy Spirit gets in the middle and says, "I got it." And He lifts it up, and He carries the couch that. In the times when you can't pray, that when suffering, when the suffering in your life is so intense, when it seems like there's no relief, when it seems like there's no end to the trouble, the trials, and the tribulation, and you just, all you can do, you drop your end. You can't carry it anymore. The Holy Spirit says, I got this. I got it. And that's why we need to depend on the Holy Spirit in prayer, because He helps us in the midst of our suffering. I wrote this prayer that I want to encourage everybody. If you need a copy of this PowerPoint, you know, somebody told me that sometimes the slides don't stay up long enough for them to copy, and you know, the people, they got to keep moving. Now, let me say a word for the AV people, right? All right, they sometimes they got to keep it moving. So, if you need the PowerPoint, let me know or let them know. We'll make sure that you get it. But I put together this prayer, and the Lord convicted me when I was working on this prayer, because I said, Lord, oftentimes when I pray, I just rush right into the prayer. I just say, Lord, do this, do that. Lord, heal this person, that person. Lord, provide for this person, that person. Lord God, you know. And I'm not saying that I'm not praying in the spirit, but I'm just saying, I need somebody to hear me on this one right here. That in times like that, is there a conscious awareness that you are bringing the Holy Spirit into your prayer time? You know what I'm saying? Is there a conscious awareness? Are you aware of, I'm inviting the Holy Spirit into this prayer time to lead me and guide me? So I put together this prayer, and I'm going to read it several times throughout the message. So you might memorize it by the time, you won't need to write it down. You might memorize by the time I get done. Come, precious Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Dependence in Prayer. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Dependence in Prayer, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Dependence in Prayer. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Dependence in Prayer from our Lenten series, or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series on Lent is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you'd like to make a financial contribution, injesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, come from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.